chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. God is good. If you're familiar with the book of Romans, you know that Paul has laid out in this epistle the meaning of the cross more clearly than anywhere else in the Bible. This is the explanation of what the death of Jesus Christ meant in the book of Romans. And he goes through the first 11 chapters. He's explaining Calvary. He's explaining grace. He's explaining faith. He explains it all the way up to chapter 12. And then in this first verse, he says, I beseech you, therefore, based on everything that I've explained in this epistle, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I beseech you, therefore, present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for the word of God today. We thank you for the clarity of the scripture. But help us today, Lord, not to have fogged minds as we hear this truth. Help us, oh God, to hear it, to receive it, to grasp it, and to allow it to make changes, subtle changes in how we conduct ourselves, that we might have a closer walk with you. Father, I ask you as well, those that support the ministry today with their tithe and offerings, that you would bless them, that you would return it upon them. Oh God, that you would help them in ways that's not necessarily the return of financial money upon them, but bless their marriages, bless their lives, bless their lifestyles, bless their children and their grandchildren. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name. We thank you for it. Amen and amen. So Paul lays out here that because of everything that God has done for us, he says, I'm begging you that you and I would present, that means to give or to yield our bodies. That we yield ourselves holy and acceptable unto God, that is our reasonable service. It means that God has concern about our physical bodies. He wants to use our bodies. Now, I know we have a different idea, really. You know, some of us love our bodies. Some of us are not, I'm not really happy with my body. Some of us have strong bodies. Some of us have aged or weaker bodies. But it doesn't matter what kind of body you have, God wants to use your physical body. And so Paul says through the Holy Ghost, he says, I'm begging you that you would present, that you would yield your physical body unto God. Now listen, just coming to church is not yielding your body. That's just coming to get fed spiritually. Yielding your body is when you allow God to use you, and it may require a sacrifice from what you would have otherwise been doing. Okay, let me make it plain. Our greatest concerns when it comes to our body is, am I eating enough? Am I sleeping enough? Do I have enough leisure time? I just need some chill time. And here's something about flesh, and that's what your body is, this flesh. It just wants three hots and a cot. For some of us know what the itis is, itis. It means I'm full and I'm sleepy. And that's what our bodies want. But God is saying, yes, eating is a requirement. Yes, sleeping is a requirement. But that should always be under the discipline of presenting our bodies to God. Because he said, based on everything that God has done, it's just our reasonable service. It's just reasonable. If Jesus went to the cross and was punished at the cross and the whipping pole, ultimately died, giving up his physical body so that I could live, why would I not share my body with him? And so Paul says, I beg you that you present your bodies unto God, holy and acceptable. Now, when Paul spoke to the Corinthian church is very much like the modern church. The Corinthian church, especially in the first epistle, Paul harshly condemned what they were doing. If you're familiar with that epistle, you'll know that the Corinthians, they were suing each other at law. There were divisions and schisms all through the body. I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos. They were all going 100 different directions. And while that was happening, there was rampant sexual immorality within those who had given their lives to Jesus Christ. Sounds like the modern church, doesn't it? See, you have to understand, on Sunday morning, everybody looks holy. But in a lot of churches, on Friday night, they was at the club. Woke up Saturday morning with somebody they don't know. Our whole society is so much like this now, we don't realize the horror of our sexual immorality. He says to the Corinthians in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians 6 and 13, he says, meat's for the belly and the belly's for meat, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication. The body is not for fornication. Now, fornication is not the same as adultery. It includes adultery. But fornication, the Greek word is porneo. It's where we get our modern day word pornography from. It means any sexual deviation whatsoever. And sometimes we don't understand the horror of what we're doing when we involve ourselves in this illicit action. When a biological man, you have to say that now, and a biological woman come together in marriage before God, their act of sexual expression is worship. God sees it as worship. You can take two people that are not married of any configuration that can do exactly the same thing as the married man and woman, and God says it's an act that's worthy of being stoned to death. And so even though our society has adultery, fornication all through it, we as Christians need to realize how horrific this is in the eyes of God. Paul says, flee, run for your life. Run for your life from fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Now think about what is being said. God looks at our bodies as Christians as the very temple for the indwelling of his Spirit. And could you imagine for a moment if in the Old Testament under that covenant, if one of the priests grabbed his illicit girlfriend and went into the Holy of Holies to commit some type of sexual sin, how horrible of a sin that is. Well, now we are the temple of God. The Holy of Holies is on the inside of us. That's where the Holy Spirit abides. And so there's two things that we have to remember. God wants your body. He wants to use your body, but Satan wants your body too. The greatest societal sin that we have right now are sexual sins. Almost every one of them, from fornication to adultery to homosexuality to transgenderism to bestiality, across the spectrum, all of them have to do with our physical bodies and what we allow our physical bodies to engage in. Now, I'm using, just because the scriptures pointed it out, I'm using fornication, but that's not the only one. You can overeat yourself into sin. Why would you say that? That's not a scripture. You can tell because you get sick. Okay. When you defile your body by smoking cigarettes, the wrath of God is slow. It doesn't hit you the first day. But over the course of time, the judgment of God begins to hit your lungs. And you can't breathe well anymore. You can allow yourself to get pulled into this sexual perversion. And you may not die the first day, but over time, you find out the doctor tells you you got HIV or you got AIDS. And you can tell a whole society's in mess because you can just be watching TV and here's an HIV commercial right in front of you. It's because folks done already messed up. That all of that is the wrath of God. And our dietary discipline is no different. If you just overeat, pretty soon your heart will say, I can't pump this much blood. It's more than I can pump. Your lungs say, I can't breathe well because I'm carrying. Your knees and your ankles say, man, this is too much. And so we then have to realize our bodies are the temple of God. And we need to always be concerned about how we are treating our bodies. Is this too tight this morning? Here's another thing. I'm going a little old school, I realize. But that's why you don't write all over your body. If you want to write something, get a piece of paper. Because once you put it on your skin, first of all, God didn't tell you to do that. And there's scripture, make no markings. Leviticus, make no markings on your physical body. That's scripture. But the other thing is, once you write it, and 10 years later, you matured from the child that you were when you wrote it. And you divorced the guy who you was married to. And here his name is still across your forehead. But the whole thing is that we have to consider our physical bodies. You've been bought with a price. Your body don't belong to you. It belongs to God. You are a purchased possession. The scripture says you are no more your own. You're bought with a price. And God wants that body, but Satan at the same time, he wants to deviate it. He'll send you any other way than to send you the way that God wants to use your body. It's happened to all of us. For me, it was drugs. I liked my body to be intoxicated when I was young. I liked to get high. And I didn't die the first day. No, that thing stretched for 10 years, really for almost 20 years. Until little by little, over time, I found myself so addicted to virtually everything that I couldn't even live anymore. I couldn't even function. I could barely hold a job. And it's because I was mistreating my body. And so when God pulled me out of all of that, he said to me, you pay attention to what you're doing to your body. No Christian ought to be drinking alcohol. I just read an article this morning. I think it was on Fox News or the Gateway Pundit. It's a entry drug, an entryway drug. It leads you to other drugs. Because it's not whether it's alcohol or weed or fentanyl. It's intoxication. And you and I, we should never want to dull our senses. We're already not smart enough. Why would you dull your senses? I'm so far off my message. But Paul said, don't you know? It's important for us to know and to realize that as Christians, our body has become the temple of the Holy Spirit. He abides within us, and he wants to use us. And as we look back through the record, we see that anyone who would yield their bodies to God, God would use them. Even in the Old Testament, when you look at the Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were stood there. The king said, you have to fall down and worship this golden image that I set up in the plain. And the whole of Israel, God's people, got down on their knees and worshiped the golden image. Except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said, we're not doing that. And so when society tells you everybody needs to do this, it's okay for you to break ranks. Because wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. So you stay with God. And those Hebrew boys, they said, we ain't doing it. And somebody told on them. So I said, oh, king, everybody's bowing down except them three little holy rollers in the back. They're refusing your command. And so the king brought them up. He said, listen, I'm going to give you another chance. I like you guys, but I'm going to give you another chance. But we're going to light that fire seven times hotter. And if you don't bow down, we're going to throw you into that fire. And now here's what the Hebrew boy said. Daniel 3:17, if it be so that you throw us in the fire, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand. But if not, even if he don't deliver us, let it be known to you, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship thy golden image, which thou hast set up. Now, what they're saying is that my body is for the worship of the Lord. I'm not worshiping something else. I'm not going a different direction. And although you and I don't have a fiery furnace, there are fiery trials now, societal trials, pressures where they try to force you in because of culture and style, force you into a certain direction. I've always been this way, and I know this is not popular, but I never could understand why somebody would put a hole in their body to make a piercing. Number one, it hurts. Just start with that. It hurts. And now, you know, through the years, there's been little piercings, you know, sisters and even brothers sometimes put in their ears little piercings. But now they got another one called a gauge where the hole's that big. And they don't just put them in their ears. They put them on this part of their nose. They got them in their lip. And I'm thinking, man, what is your body belongs to God. One day you're going to grow up, but that hole is not going to fill in. It's going to still be there. So these Hebrew boys said, we are not going to bow down to your dictates, and you and I are going to have to tell this culture, this stylistic culture, that we are not going that direction. We're going to live for God. The king was angry. He told his men, toss them in. And you've read the story. The men took them over to the furnace that fired seven times hotter. They threw them in. The furnace was so hot it burnt up the king's men. And the Hebrew boys fell down in the fire. And when the king looked again, he said, did we not throw three into that fire? But I see a fourth one. And he looks like the Son of God. Hallelujah. And so the Hebrew boys came out of the furnace. They're walking around in there. They're not even crying. They're not even. No heat is in the fire. They come out, and the scripture said they didn't even have a smell of smoke on them. Not even the smell of smoke. And listen to what happens when they walked out. Daniel 3:28. Then Nebuchadnezzar, he is the king. He's the potentate. He said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Stop right there. 5 minutes ago, he was promoting a golden idol. But because these Hebrew boys took their stand, he let go of the idol. He said, blessed be their God. Realizing my God ain't got it like that. He goes on to say, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, that trusted in him, that trusted in him, and have changed the king's words. The king's word is law. These three boys, with one act of obedience, giving their bodies to God, whatever happens, happens, they changed the law of the land in one moment. You and I, we look for the Supreme Court to do something. And they're getting goofier and goofier, if you've noticed. And that happens because God's people are no longer holding up the standard. He said, it goes on to say here that he changed the king's word. They changed the king's word and they yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own. And that's what I'm preaching today. They yielded their bodies to God. What does that look like? I know you realize that, well, we're not a pastor. We don't come up and we don't preach on the stage. And so what can I do with my body that's going to make a difference? Understand something. I didn't start here. This is just where I ended at. My wife and I had an apartment, and we took the back room and cleared it out. It was a big walk-in closet. And all I had in there pinned up on the wall on a handkerchief was my prayer list. And there was some anointing oil in a basket on the side. That was my prayer closet. See, even when you think you can't do nothing, honey, you can pray. Yeah, you can pray and you can call down heaven. And that closet was anointed. You could go in there and feel the Spirit of God, but now we don't enter into those times anymore. We don't yield our bodies to God. We sleep in. I'm not scolding you. I'm trying to stir you. We sleep in. We don't fast anymore. We eat another plate. We don't take time to really serve God to the extent that it impacts our physical bodies. I remember back in the day, my wife and I used to fast. We'd fast like 7 days. And I don't mean these modern fasts. I don't mean a fast where you just don't eat chicken. I mean, we didn't eat no food, water. It wasn't, I don't know what they call them now, Daniel fast or something else. That's not the kind we did. We did a Jesus fast where you wasn't eating nothing. And we fast 7 days and eat one meal and then fast 7 more days. But when you talk about that now, it's a concept that's totally gone. As a matter of fact, I'm not trying to beat anybody up. Most of us today cannot fast one day. Stop eating last night, and I'm not going to eat again until tonight. I stopped eating 24 hours of nothing but water. Most of us wouldn't be able to go through that. And it won't damage your body. It's actually healthy for your body, but we don't yield our bodies unto God. Am I beating you up? Y'all are so quiet. Am I beating you up? I'm not trying to. I mean, in this hour, we can't even get to church on time because we got to have 3 cups of coffee and a donut. I got to stop by Starbucks. I don't want to be late, but Starbucks, the line was long. You say, well, preacher, that's just because you just live around the corner. Well, that's true. I do just live around the corner, but I got here 4:30 a.m. And you know how I learned to do that? It don't come natural. It doesn't come natural. When I learned to do this, I set my alarm clock. And you know how you snooze it? Has anybody ever snoozed an alarm clock? I took the alarm clock and I set it by the bedroom door. That means get up. And I'm not lying. Then I had another alarm clock. I set it down the hallway. So when this one didn't go, that one was going to get me. And that's how I learned to discipline myself to get up. Now I don't even have an alarm clock. I just get up. So it's something that you learn, you discipline yourself over time, and your body will react. When you first start doing this, your body's going to rebel. That's why you try to go on a 24-hour fast, you're going to have a rebellion going on right in this area. It's going to be a rebellion. But it's fake. You ain't going to die. Just press right through it. Or we go into prayer, and all of a sudden, the devil puts 55 things on your mind you got to take care of. That's just the way it is. But you discipline your mind. You discipline yourself in such a way that, well, those 55 things you gave me, I didn't do them up until I got on my knees. They can wait until I get off my knees. It's going to be okay. My point today is yield your bodies unto God. Let him have your body. No matter what mistakes you've made in the past. There's a man in the name, in the Bible, but his name is not Legion, but we know who he's talking about. He's the demoniac of the Gadarenes. He had a legion of demons in him. 2,000, at least 2,000 demons was in this man. And the scripture says that when Jesus was feeding the 5,000, this man was on the other side of the lake, and Jesus immediately went over there, shut the feeding down, went over there to where this man was at. And he gave a description of the man. He was naked. He lived in the tombs, in the graveyard. And the scripture says he cut himself with stones. Now think about that's not a razor. It's not a knife where you make a nice little slice. A stone makes a big jagged slice. And so if you can envision this man been living this way forever, they even put him in fetters and handcuffs to try to keep him from hurting himself. But he was so strong with the demon forces, he would break the fetters asunder. And Jesus walked up on the man. No doubt his arms were all gnarled with wounds and cuts, his hair in a shambles. And Jesus in one moment set that man free by the power of God. He lived his whole life like a maniac. And when Jesus began to leave, the man tried to get in the boat with Jesus, and Jesus said, no, go tell your family and your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. Coming from that demoniac state, immediately God used his body, go tell your friends and neighbors. And he will use you the same way. Because we have the same issue now. Young people now, maybe not only young people, a lot of people now, they don't cut themselves with stones. They cut themselves. Honey, you playing with the devil. Yeah, I don't know what's going on in your mind, but you're playing with the devil. You need to get serious about Jesus Christ. If you ever cut your arm one time, it's indicative that you need to get straight with Jesus Christ, because your toes are hanging over the lips of hell. You need to get serious about Jesus Christ, because we don't have to live like that. Nothing that degrades our body is the will of God. He wants you to be strong in your physical body. And the stronger you are, I'm not talking about muscles, I'm talking strong in terms of your health and your discipline, the more that he can use you. He needs a strong body to carry the word of God. There's people out there that I can never reach. I can't reach it because I'm not in their demographic with regards to age or cultural demographic. But there are some of you right here, you're in the midst of them. We got young people sitting right here. If you would give God your life while you're young, God will use you through your whole life. There's some of you will never have to work for man. If you would give yourself, give your bodies to God, he will pick you up and he will use you. I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Would you bow your heads all over the room? Father, I've done my best this morning to share with your people. God, we are so far off the mark. We are so far away from where we should be. But Lord, let these words that were spoken today, let them just be a conviction upon our lives. Begin with my life, Lord. A conviction that causes us to yield ourselves unto you, to yield our bodies unto you. God, I want you to use me. I want you to have me. I don't want to give myself to the devil. I want to give myself to God. Come on, all over the room. If you're able, would you stand to your feet this morning if you're able? And you just reach out. If it's in your heart today, God, I want to give you my body. I don't want the devil to take advantage of me. Just reach out and just talk to God the best way you know how. Father, I want you. Just tell him, Lord, I want you. I give you my body, Lord. I give you my life. I want you to use me. I want my body to walk in your will, in your way, all the days of my life. Come on, just reach out. Just give it to God. Lord, I want you. The devil's trying to trick me. The devil's trying to use me, but I want you. I make a decision today. Just reach out to the Lord.
Heavenly Father, please help us. And when people say that we're weird, that we know that we're not weird, but we are set apart. We are different. We are not of this world. We may be in it, but we're not of it. Help us to not care about what they think, but be more aware of what God thinks. Help us to stand apart so that people can look at us and say, there is something different about that person. They don't act like everyone else. And I pray that we get in our word so that we can know God and we can answer to him and him only and not the way of the world. It's in Jesus' most precious and his holy name that I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for coming out this morning, for those who are in-house and those who are online. We thank you for joining us. I have just a few announcements. If you haven't already given, we ask that you please help in giving so that we can better the kingdom of God. There will be a prayer service Friday night from 10 to 12 p.m. So come out and press in. And on March the 8th, turn your clocks forward. There will be daylight saving time. So don't forget to turn your clocks forward. And come out with us on Wednesday night for Wednesday night Bible study. And if you want to come back again, we have another service at 11 o'clock. And that is all. You are dismissed.